Let's return to this idea of the prophecies of the Old Testament that apply, or that all the Old Testament applies to Christ. But this one in Ezekiel 36 is really the one that's, I mean, it's the fulfillment of Christ, but it gives you hope. I mean, it makes it manifest in us. Well, I don't know where to start. Well, let's start. We probably won't finish today, but start in Ezekiel 36, verse 1. Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy is set against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate, and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen. And you are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are the infamy of all, in Hebrew it says, of all the people. Therefore, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and a derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely, in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Edomia, which have appointed my land unto their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. That's incredible. Which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Now, the real land of God is you. The type, the picture, was ancient Israel. Now, but this, from now on, you've got to see this applies to you. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. Now what is the shame of the heathen? How have you borne the shame of the heathen? The shame of the heathen is fundamentally idolatry. Now, from God's standpoint, the lips, the words of what happens from your lips doesn't matter. Because if you say that you are a believer and you still retain the idolatry of the heathen, then your words are meaningless, which you all know about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand, surely the heathen that are about you, they shall hear, bear their shame. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. And I will multiply unto you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than after your beginnings. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance. And thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, Thou land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nations. Therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more. Neither, saith the Lord God, neither will I cause men to bear in thee the shame of the heathen any more. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people any more. Neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall any more, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their own doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries, according to their way and according to their doings I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathens whither you went. Now this, you understand from God's perspective, at the day of the cross, really for all of time, but for the purposes of what we're talking about now, at the day of the cross, there are only two left, the bride and the harlot. Now, well, let me just leave it there for now. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. And then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers. It doesn't say you'll try to do them. It says you will do them, and you will do them because of the finished work of Christ. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. And I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then you shall remember your own evil ways and your own doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities and the wastes that shall be builded. Well, that's we can stop there. You can read the rest of it on your own time. But let's go to Job 42 a minute. On your own time, Gary. Job 42. This is the end of all of the tribulations of Job. This is what caused them to end. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee? Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare you unto me. Declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So the same thing in Jeremiah, where it says that not for your sakes and in how you will abhor yourself, that's the opposite of what religion teaches you. Religion teaches you, and it's emphasized in the testimonies, that I used to be bad and now I'm good. And the one thing that does more harm, I heard it this morning, and I was up real early watching religious broadcasting, but somebody said again, I've heard this 10,000 times, and I remember the first time I heard it, I knew it had to be wrong. It said that if you were the only one in the world, God loved you so much that he would die for you. It sounds real good. But it's wrong. Because that will enhance you not to abhor yourself. You can say, well, I abhor what I used to be, but not yourself. Do you understand this?
You know, that's like there had to be a body for one thing for any of this to even be happening.
Right.
So it's like saying, you know, if God were a meteorite, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it personalizes or makes the gospel the ultimate of self-seeking. Well, then the fruit of this is the following, where it says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now you repent in dust and ashes. Remember, dust is that you know, that's all you're worthy of. You're worthy of being put in the grave. You came from dust, and you're going to return to dust. And the ashes, when they put ashes on their forehead or on their body in any way, that was indicating that they deserve the same fate as the burnt offering. And then when the sackcloth was cloth that was made from the hair of the sacrifice. And when you put the sackcloth on, which further emphasized it in many other places, that meant that you deserved the same, you participated in the same thing that sacrifice from which the sackcloth was made. Now sackcloth is burlap, which is just, you know, people send you a piece of sackcloth, if you send them $50 or something. But this is an internal phenomena that you must see yourself correctly, and then you repent. And the true meaning of repent is leave yourself behind. It's no more worthy of thought, positive or negative. You totally abandon yourself. But if I tell you that God loves you, if I tell a heathen that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, then the cross can never be preached unless it comes to this point. And again, remember, we're made so that what you hear is what you will see. And what you will see is what you will do. That's why in the Old Testament there's this strange word play that says, you will observe to do is the meaning of obey. Observe to do. Well, you observe to do by seeing at every moment the sacrifice is complete and that it's finished. And then he will do. All right. And then in verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Now, this is what just drives me crazy. Eliphaz and his two buddies said all kinds of really religious sounding things. Pay thy vow, the decree a thing, it'll be done for you. On and on and on.
On and on and on, chapter after chapter. Yeah.
But here God says the thing that they said wasn't right. You have not spoken to me a thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept. And again, Job was the type of Christ. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly. Now, all of your minds, the best your mind can do, is to be as Eliphaz and his two friends. The best your mind can be is that which is not right before God. You got to understand this. Otherwise, you will not abhor yourself. You'll just keep trying to make yourself better. And then you'll have to be a hypocrite, because you're not made to become better. And once the hypocrisy happens and starts, then God gives you over to your own imagination. And pretty soon you'll begin to justify anything and everything. There'll be no vulnerability. There'll be no openness. There'll only be the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod, and the leaven of the Sadducees. That's why it's so vital that each year, prior to Passover, if any of the leaven has begun in you, that you have to remove it before you can celebrate the Passover. All right. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Eldad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according to as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, to pray here doesn't mean that, well, I got down on my knees and said a simple prayer. The idea of prayer in the Old Testament means, if I pray for you, that means that your welfare has become to me more important than my own. And so that's the whole meaning of the New Testament, where it says, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, thy soul, and my mind. In doing so, you will love your neighbor as you used to love yourself. You lay down your life for your neighbor instead of laying down your life for yourself. That's why the test is so vital. You present yourself as a living sacrifice so that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't know any other way to do that than it be in a body. Because otherwise you can act, well, I'm willing to lay down my life if a need arises. Well, if you're living in the suburbia where everybody is, you're not going to find, you're going to kid yourself. Well, at least I would. I don't know about anybody else. But for me, living like we do is absolutely necessary. Because otherwise my mind would deceive me. I know my mind too well. That's why living in community with the vulnerability that's so vital and yet so hated from God's standpoint is absolutely necessary for most of us. Now this is to me the picture, this the what we just read in Ezekiel, plus this certified or emphasized by Job 42, it's the whole meaning of the gospel. It's the whole meaning of the Old Testament. It's the whole meaning of the New Testament. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's enough.
The picture of those guys actually going to Job, that's a big thing too. It's like that's the picture of repentance. They did all this stuff. They're telling him all these things he ought to do and all that.
And they went, and they knew that they had told him lies.
Yes, they had to accept the fact that what they said was folly, like it says. Like, that's what we have to do. See, our whole mind is just full of folly, and we have to come to this place of the opposite of what it is we want to do.
Amen.
Cry out.
But again, Job's captivity was turned when he prayed for his friends. The test of the mystery is in the body, in the brethren. Anybody have any response? Everybody understand perfectly. Take it, big guy. I now notice. I want you to recognize that I've got some time coming. I've got some rollover minutes. I've got some roll.
Do you want to go there?
No.
Well, you can also count the times when you are not able to appear. That whole time period.
Then I'd be able to speak 24 hours a day.